Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Excuse me. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It's Muck and Fun Day. It's the 24th day of April, 2017. I'm your host, Henry Shively. And JD sent me an email. He said he wouldn't be able to make it today or tomorrow. He has a doctor's appointment today and a dentist appointment tomorrow, so we'll wish him the best in those endeavors, and you guys will just have to put up with me for a couple of days. This being said, this is a live broadcast, a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 and mute if you want to come up on the air and talk with me today. Well, it's currently 47 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson. I'm looking for a high of 45 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And, man, it's dropped down to the 40s, and it's just going to, I mean, it's that waller up, man. I see it every year, but, boy, it's running late this year. And I just want it to go away. I want the good old summertime. That being said, let's see what we have on the agenda today. Well, This is all going to kind of come together. You know, we're just going to chat a bit. But then we got a partial verdict reached in Bundy Ranch standoff trial in Nevada. And we're going to get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Go to his head, his wife's aggravation, you're soon enough dead. That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. Shady looking loser, you played with my gun. No smooth pace, a lawyer could get you undone. Say love same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, we have the article up here, partial verdict reached in Bundy Ranch standoff trial in Nevada, and you know, what we're looking at today is, you know, this shit's falling apart on them. It's falling apart on all of them, the communist and the goddamn Masonic dirty church cabal, you know, the goddamn aristocracy. It's just falling apart on them. And they are desperate, man, because, you know, people are starting to say to one another, I mean, it was just, they had everybody in this la-la world chasing this wiper that way and that wiper the other way. But finally, people, you know, they've gotten down enough. You know, it's just stagnant. It's stagnant with shit. You know, it just stinks at every angle. And they're looking at one another and they're saying, man, nothing is happening that I want. And the other person will look at it and say, nothing's happening that I want. And I used to be a Democrat and I used to be a Republican and we were supposed to want opposite things. Somehow neither one of us is getting anything. It's just like there's something else. There's another system running here parallel to what we're being sold on the stupid box. They're figuring it out. They're asking, hey, why don't I have say in here? Well, the federal government says this or the federal government says that. And, well, where do they get, how can they say it? I thought this country belonged to all of us. And this federal person, I mean, they're going around and they've got it all. It all belongs to them. And, hell, we're just, what, we're a part of that property? This is the aristocracy. They're losing control. People will not be put in bondage. I mean, it's been a psychological bondage for so long. But, I mean, people have been, you know, the slave camps exist in this country. Hell, we hold more people incarcerated than any other country on the planet, including communist goddamn China with 1.5 billion people. Anyways, this talks about a couple of convictions. And, but you know, before we start, I mean, into this article, I'm going to say that, you know, Enemy of the State came up. I mean, I've not followed this very closely at all. I mean, when something comes out, we report on it because, well, there's, you either got to be there, I think, or you're not going to hear nothing but any mainstream shit is all you're going to hear. At any rate, Enemy of the State, you know, he said that these two people who were convicted were actually informants for the FBI. And I don't know if that's true or not. If it is, then this would be a good thing because everybody else, there was a hung jury. But let's see what the article says. Partial verdict charged in Bundy Ranch standoff trial in Nevada from Oregon Live, sent in by Wade for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Las Vegas. The latest on the trial of six men charged in an armed standoff with federal agents. 10:50 a.m. Las Vegas Review Journal reported Jenny Wilson reported the verdict in a series of tweets. Jury reaches partial verdict. Gregory Burleson, former FBI informant. By God, it says it here, too. Former FBI informant. Guilty of 8 counts. Todd Engel, guilty of 2. He was sure right about one of them. Why not the rest? Guilty of 2. Hung on the rest. So you got two informants here who just got handed, you know, Todd guilty. You got 8, 9, 10 counts here between the two of them. 8 counts on the Burleson and 2 counts on Engel. And if these guys were the informants, man, this thing could be going south on them. Jury hopelessly deadlocked. Now, this is an emphasis on it. It's in quotation marks. Jury hopelessly deadlocked on everything else. The jury note announcing verdict said, judge sends jury back to deliberate on remaining counts. 8:55 a.m. A verdict has been reached in the trial of 6 men who had assault-style weapons during a standoff that stopped government agents from rounding up cattle near Clive and Bundy's Nevada ranch in 2014. A court official said Monday that the jury's decision will be read at 10 a.m. in U.S. District Court in Las Vegas. Each defendant faces 10 charges, including threatening and assaulting a federal officer, obstruction, extortion, weapons violations, and conspiracy. The trial is seen as a preview for an upcoming trial for Bundy, his eldest son, Amon and Ryan Bundy, and 2 other defendants who prosecutors have characterized as leaders of the conspiracy. The standoff was seen as a victory by states' rights advocates who oppose, and you see that thing back around, not the state either. The states and the federal, the state is pretty much like the federal government. You know, the borders, you know, securing our borders and protecting our trade from outside influences. And at a state level, you know, it's the same thing. It's just a little mini-me of the big government. And any notion of ownership of anything by these entities the thing is the ownership. If they do own your public lands, people, you understand that it falls away, from your rights. As private commercial owners, They can use the Uniform Commercial Code to remove your rights when you're up on the land. And if they claim to own all the land of the United States, well, I guess a freeman ain't got nowhere to stand. If they can regulate the land, they can regulate everything upon it and above it. That's why there was no way that the people would ever consciously turn over ownership of their property to a goddamn entity that was going to rule over them. That is not what it was all about. The standoff was seen as a victory by states' rights. Okay, 8:30 a.m., a federal jury has resumed deliberations in the trial of six men who brought assault-style weapons to a standoff that stopped government agents from rounding up cattle near Clive and Brundy's ranch in April 2014. A court official says jurors began deliberations Monday, in U.S. District Court in Las Vegas. So far, the eight women and four men have spent three full days and two half days going over the evidence. The trial took 2 months, and the six defendants faced 10 charges each, including threatening and assaulting. Went over this. No shots were fired, and the cattle were released after the standoff near Bunkerville. The outcome was seen as a victory by states' rights. And again, they tell us, but now I guess the judge, when they said this jury was, you know, deadlocked, absolutely couldn't go no further. The judge is, well, you're going to come back with a verdict. You have to go back in it. You have to come up with something. Yeah, you know, what they're wanting is guilty verdicts. Because these things like up here in Portland, Oregon, I mean, yeah, with the federal courts up there and the federal courts in Nevada, what the real issue here is does old federal own all the goddamn land? Has old federal removed our common law rights and jurisdiction through a declaration of a dictator? Now, you know, we talk about, the incident that happened Friday, you know, with, what the hell is his name? Peter Hendrickson, you know, coming up and you know, started talking about that this country belongs to just a handful. And it really, it affirms everything that we've been telling you. And he talked about, well, what about William Penn? Well, yeah, the goddamn King of England did give him a grant. Granted him lands, along with George Washington, along with a lot of those so-called founders of our nation, the corporate elite of their day, the king's men under the king's charter. It's absolutely correct. Listen, you know, we talked about, April 19th just passed us by, another Patriots Day just passed us by. And we're talking about the hijacking the people rose up and said, no, we're not going to be your goddamn slaves again on this land. It ain't going to happen. We're going to have our rights, and we're going to own this country. We are going to have jurisdictional rights on every goddamn inch of it. So our rights that we're fighting and dying for will be observed absolutely as the law of the land. Articles of Confederation. Now, Mark Gornke talks about the fact that they fought that war. They formed a confederation. Hell yeah, that's how they hijacked it. That's how they hijacked a popular movement and put it into the hands of the people. I mean, who were tyrannizing the people in the colonies, the aristocrats of the colonies. And I mean, I wanted to look at this, and I did. You know, this is from Commiepedia, but I mean, it pretty well covers the dates, and that's really what we're looking at here. Now, we know that April 19th, 1775, that the people opened up on the British. There was no colonial army. It was the people coming out as militia. They opened up on the goddamn redcoats, ran them clear back into Boston, surrounded Boston, started shelling Boston with cannonballs. And then, so when was this Confederacy put together? Let's look at it. The Confederation, the Articles of Confederation, and like I said, this is from Stupopedia. The Articles of Confederation was an agreement among the 13 original states of the United States of America that served as its first constitution. Its drafting by a committee appointed by the Second Continental Congress. Now, wait a minute. On July 12, 1776? Well, let's see now. The gun started going off back in April of 1775. And, of course, the Declaration of Independence, that came out July 4th, 1776. And now these people who wrote this declaration, they've got together. I mean, they formed with, the point here is, again, the thing we keep looking for in all this shit. By what authority? By what authority did a handful of goddamn businessmen who had been the king's men, who had done business with the king, who had actually participated in the tyranny being inflicted upon the colonists, how did they just sit down and, we're the Continental Congress? You know, when you watch it on TV, they tell you that, you know, this representative was sent from Virginia, you know, Georgie Washington. He was the representative. Who sent these representatives and under what authority? You were in the middle of an uprising. You've rejected the rule of the king. So there is no authority, period. It's open warfare. And so, you know, like I said, you know, a year later, here you have these aristocrats. They couldn't stop it. And the people were going to fight them, fight the British, and they were going to take it. So they had to hijack it. Because, I mean, there were their fortunes. For generations, since the king had first given them land. And they would have been the ruling class, the aristocrats in the United States. And then let's see what happened. And an improved version was sent to the states for ratification on November 15, 1777. Boy, we'd been fighting for quite a while, hadn't we? By the time these people declared their new government. I tell you right now, there was no goddamn vote, was there? Everybody was in the field fighting the British. There was no vote. You couldn't have had an organized election. Get real. This is just by declaration, just like the United Nations. The Articles of Confederation came into force on March 1st, 1781. What is that, man? See, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81. 6 years after the guns went off, in the middle of this fight, these aristocrats declared a government. Without any participation from the people, because the people were in the field fighting the goddamn war. After being ratified by all 13 states, a guiding principle of the articles was to preserve the independence and sovereignty of the states. See, that's what it, because they, you know, they were the colonists, they were the good old boy, dirty church cabal that ruled with a total iron hand as absolute dictators in the colonies. And now they were going to rule them as states. So they were putting together a new power force, because what we're talking about here is charter and authority. A guiding principle of the Articles was to preserve the independence. The federal government received only those powers which the colonies had recognized as belonging to King and Parliament. What did they grant themselves? I gotta look at this. What did they grant themselves? The federal government received from who, under what authority, only those powers, only those powers, those little powers, like life and death, which the colonists had recognized as belonging to King and Parliament. The Articles formed a wartime confederation of states with an extremely limited central government. Even unratified, the document was used by the Congress to conduct business. Even, I'm going to say that again, because this is what this is. This is the goddamn corporate elite of their time. Even unratified. How could you ratify it? You didn't have states. You were in uprising. This is all bullshit. This is just skipping up. I'm the rich guy, so I lead and you follow. I own you. Even unratified. The document was used by the Congress to conduct business. Direct the American Revolutionary War. Conduct diplomacy with foreign nations. So these guys, just this little group of bastards who should have been the first to hung, now they're running the goddamn show and they've claimed the king's authority. And the king, and this is what it said. Where was it here? Let's see here. The king's authority. The Articles formed a wartime confederation. Congress, extremely limited government, even unratified the documents. Where was it here? Oh, the federal government received only those powers which the colonists had recognized as belonging to King and Parliament. What kind of power are you talking here? We have granted to ourselves, while our people are in the field fighting, power! By declaration! There was no goddamn elections! War, conduct diplomacy for foreign nations, and deal with territorial issues and Native American relations. They've just declared themselves, it's just like the United Nations. You tell me what the goddamn difference is. We just declare it. It's just like taking Palestine. from the Palestinian. We just declare it. Why did you, our forefathers not go and finish the goddamn job and kill every frickin' one of them? Actually, the adoption of the articles made no perceptible change in the federal government. Well, no, it wouldn't. Because the ones that were running you in the colonies, they just stepped in and said, we're the new boss in town, same as the old boss in town, only we've got the king's authority now on ourselves. We're the king's authority over you. No perceptible change in the federal government, because it did little more than legalize what the Continental Congress had been doing. Oh, does that sound familiar? They just take it upon themselves that we decided we're going to do this to you, and you're going to bow to that, and you're going to put your back to that plow, and you're going to do as we tell you. And, well, next week we'll make a law legitimizing our power. How do you like it, people? This is the same shit. I mean, tell me this isn't what's happening right to us right now. Change in... little more to legalize what the Continental Congress had been doing. My God. The body was now taken over as the Congress of the Confederation, but Americans continued to call it the Continental Congress. That's what we call it. Our new masters, our Continental Congress, are bullshit. I gotta believe, people, that the real people back in that day were going, bullshit. Bullshit, we're gonna kill every goddamn one of you. These are the bastards that were inflicting the tyranny, working under the king's charter. And now they're claiming they're the goddamn king. You really think that the man who went into the field, who fought for this country, was going along with this bullshit? Since its organization remained the same, of course, the American Revolution was from 1775 to 1783, and like we pointed out, the goddamn, the war started. The people rose up. The people. There was no Continental Army. There was no active military under any governmental rule except for the King George on this continent, other than the people's militia, the people as an uprising, declaring their rights. So, 1 year later, in 1776, well, they had to get busy hijacking that. Why? Because we've told you before, you know, it's like the fellow was, peed over there on, last Friday. Oh, Pence, he gave Pennsylvania to William Penn. Well, he sure as hell did. But when you're conquered, your charters end, don't they? Well, no. Not in this instance, they didn't. Because during this uprising, they had illegally, through just pure, will of force and power and money, formed an illegal government, not of, for, and by the people, and by any stretch of the imagination, because it wasn't us that formed it. It was the people who were ruling us in the colonies that formed the son of a bitch. But when that sword was surrendered at Yorktown, when George Washington's, Cornwallis's lackey came and handed that sword over to Georgie Washington, what really happened there? I'll tell you what really happened to you there. He was surrendering his sovereignty over this continent. And who did he surrender it to? Oh, his boys that were his boys in the colonies. Same fellas. Now the king was just ruling by proxy, wasn't he? Because he really didn't recognize this as any kind of defeat, as they, you know, the people were being taken off of fishing boats and stuff and pressed into service for the British Navy. This is why the War of 1812, the Second Revolution, broke out, remember? And how did that conclude? Well, it seems that it concluded with them going over to England in private in the Masonic lodges and sitting down and knighting all the king's men over here, giving them knighthoods, and that's really what they did, is try to cut this, the way you see the districting. They've tried to cut this country up into, well, what the hell would you call them? Castles, and let's see, what do we got? Fiefdoms. That's the word I'm looking for. Corporate fiefdoms. Now, the question is, when the war ended, when Cornwallis did surrender that sword, that's when the hostility stopped. But the people who were in the field, as soon as that sword was handed over, they were just the goddamn property, just like they was with the king, only it was to these same son of a bitches with the authority of the king. A swindle, a lie. The true patriots should have went to Philadelphia and hung every son of a bitch in one of them, put their heads on pikes on a ship and sailed it back over to England. Here's the rest of your trash back. They did this little group. Did the Continental Congress go out there and whip the British Army, or did the people? The people did. Yet a handful of aristocrats, the same aristocrats ruling in the colonies. Oh, they got handed the sword. And the average guy didn't know, we won. No, you didn't. You don't win until you get the last of the traitors.
Henry?
Yes, ma'am?
Good afternoon. I heard what you read there off Wikipedia. I guess I was always under the notion that, these guys that formed the government, I know you said that the country was in an uprising, they were out fighting. I've heard numbers like, maybe 3 to 10% were actually, out there fighting the war. So I always thought that it was, maybe the other people that were, not actually in the fields or, somehow assisting, that they were, sending these guys up there to form this, government.
Well, the other half of them were Tories. I mean, how did you separate who was the king's man? Were they wearing insignia? Because I don't think they were. And most of the population were still Tories. They wanted to be British citizens. They wanted the king's rule. So I don't think they sent delegates. And if you take 3% from the rest, the 3% that were actually doing the fighting that achieved the feat of conquering this country, that 3%, they weren't sending nobody. They were fighting.
Right.
So when they say it was sent, and you watched the Sons of Freedom or whatever the hell that's called, but when they talk about it, who sent them? Oh, they're fellow businessmen. And they had to get him a business. A lot of them still doing business with the king, providing him with the necessaries to kill our people.
Yeah.
Because all of them hadn't signed on to it until, we're looking at 1781. And in the meantime, they were doing business with the king. And the bottom line is, when the sword was surrendered, who was it surrendered to? George Washington? George Washington got one of them grants from the king. Anyways, guys, we've made it down to the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction, in the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind. Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
World stops turning, ashes where the body's burning. pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Listening to the word from the trenches, from the trenches worldreport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the trenches. The word from the trenches is a listener sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to from the trenches worldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1242 Pacific time. That, of course, was War Pigs by Black Sabbath. Break. And we're going to, you know, I was thinking about it during the break, and, you know, Katie brought up a good point, you know, that 3% is what they talked about, you know, how many were neutral. And everybody, I mean, it's like people don't realize there were Tory militia out there as thick as the Patriot militia. They joined with the king. And when the people, the Sons of Liberty, first started, you know, ruffling the feathers of the king by saying, no, you can't. They came up and spoke for their rights as British citizens. It was, you know, a Tory militias in every county and, you know, in all the colonies and what they called states after they had their little confederation thing. But in every state, there were people, I mean, neighbors killing each other. It was more akin to a civil war. But in the end, the Patriots prevailed. And, of course, it was the Continental Army, the army of the government. It wasn't the army of the people, because it makes clear in our founding documents that the militia is not the regular army. The militia started the fight because against, actually, the aristocrats who ended up forming the new government and forming the Continental Army. And after the sword was surrendered, they turned around with that army that they had built from our people and declared sovereignty over us, not akin to us and with us, over us. Anyways, you know, the bottom line is, what kind of effort had to be made to change history to that extent? All this bullshit we were taught as children, and our fathers were taught, and their fathers were taught. But I mean, I'm sure it just a little bit more, that thin edge of the thick wedge getting thicker and thicker every generation. But how many years did it take for them to get it down to the point to where, we know from looking at the Federalist Papers that there were people back there that understood this absolutely. They knew exactly what had happened. And they called them what they were, aristocrats, the same son of a bitches that were the king. They were the king's men. The king was now ruling by proxy right up until 1812. And then they became lords of the main corporation through the Catholic Church. And I mean, all the charters. Why would you do that? If you just won a country, what happened? We didn't throw the king's sovereignty out and start our own nation as equals. What happened is the king's sovereignty was turned over to the aristocrats, his former lackeys, for all intents and the people that had ruled, like I said, that had inflicted the tyranny on the colonies. It was turned over to them. They didn't get rid of it. They didn't get rid of this absolutism, this aristocracy rule, because that's what when we talked about it in that first, the Wikipedia piece, the powers of the king. We didn't want no king. We had fought to get rid of a king, but no, we got a king in a different form. You will remember that they wanted to name, just have King George or ordained king of the United States. Remember that? And they seemed to think that they had the authority to do so. Only I think that back in that time, there were people out there going, bullshit, we will go there. We're going to kill every goddamn one of these pack rats, son of a bitch and bastards. And so they had to, they played the games, the politicking games, the smoke and mirrors. And then we come up with the Bill of Rights. We'll say, well, you're not going to rule over us like a king. We are going to rule over ourselves. We will have a limited government that will handle affairs that are international. You will coin money for us so we don't have banks in here taking our goddamn country away from us for foreigners. Everything that they were supposed to do for us has come around 180 degrees until that's what's destroying us, because they've always ruled as aristocracy. They've never recognized our Bill of Rights. And the churches, see, in the common man's world, the churches, they were dominant back then. And they went along with it because, hey, they got to share power just like they did in the colonies. Only it's under the pretense of this Bill of Rights thing that the people are actually free. I mean, they even come up today. I mean, the blasphemy pouring from their arrogant faces. We're self-governing people, and I'm the guy that governs all yourselves. Think about that. I've heard Obama say it. We're a self-governing. This is an experiment in self-governance. No, it ain't. The self-governance was the common law, was the Bill of Rights, where we lived apart from the government. We did our own business. We had our own contracts under our own jurisdiction. That's what the people demanded. And do you think that these same aristocrats who had just acquired the power of a king, that they wanted to acquiesce to a Bill of Rights that was going to make them just another fella? That's why they fought it. That's why as soon as it was put, as the ink was dry, they started chipping away at it. It had to go. And now we're at this point that we're talking about here with the Bundys and what might have you, where everybody's going, God damn it. I can at least read that clause in the Constitution. It says they can't own land. What happened to that? Is that just something, it's just like, all their policies out here selectively enforced on who they want? But that is the question. And I mean, if it turns out that these other people are acquitted because they can't come to because the jury's deadlocked and two informants go to prison, that would just be too sweet and it would be a hell of a message, wouldn't it? No, actually, you don't own these United States, you son of a bitches. And what are they? What, the aristocrats, they're calling themselves Fed now? Well, because we call ourselves Fed. That's Fed, girl. That's a big word. That's a big, powerful word. So is King. And we threw that son of a bitch off. And the reason I keep drilling this is because it's going to happen again. When this fight, I mean, we're in a war. But when it becomes, it's just like in 1775. We were at a war, 1776, we were at a war, and I mean, that's when they were trying to hijack it. I mean, that's when they were putting all the pieces in place to hijack it. But we're at war right now. And when it comes to the point that where war is inevitable, oh, you're going to see our new founding fathers, these great men that our children will be taught to, our great-great-great-great-grandchildren will be taught to worship, these great patriots who stepped up and formed an army and formed a new government. And it'll be the same son of a bitches that are inflicting the tyranny on us right now. And you'll have the Tory militia, goddamn, just like you had it back then, with the three percenters and the oath keepers. Because whose oath are they keeping? They're keeping an oath to a structure that has claimed the powers of a king. Don't forget that originally it was, we're going to make George Washington king because we've got the power. We've had the charter surrendered into our hands, and we're going to put it in the hands of a king. A single man that will rule over you will actually be his property. You will be serfs upon this land that you just bled to gain your freedoms. And that's why the Bill of Rights was forced. Because the guys back then, I mean, they ain't going to come out and tell you this, but they were getting ready to go to Philadelphia and shoot the son of a bitch. And I'm sure they were sick of war. Had to be. Nonetheless, they were heading to Philadelphia to hang these son of a bitches. I mean, there were like riots outside the goddamn White House and everything. They don't tell you this shit in school. I can just imagine being inside the mind of one of those people back there. You went out and you goddamn for what, how many years? That was from, let me see here, from 75 to, let me find it here. Oh, let's see here. Here it is. From 1775 to 83, so that's 75, 80, 13 years. So they'd survived it. Some of them people that, you know, they were there the first day. And they survived it 13 years later, 13 years of bloody hell. And come out the other side, well, we're gonna be your king now. The same, you got to believe the animosity towards these bastards was just unbelievable. But see, the thing back then was the people, you know, in the colonies, they were just, I mean, this is what finally led to the uprising, is they were oppressed. They were oppressed. Tyranny was inflicted upon them. But they could always go out into the wilderness. They had to deal with the Indians trying to kill them. And they had to build, you know, scratch a life out of nothing. And as soon as they did, here come, this land has been granted to me by the king. And you're going to have to move along or start paying me rent. And what the goddamn hell do we have today, people? You don't own a goddamn thing. And I mean, this is what people are finding out. We don't own anything. Never have. You don't own the clothes on your back. They want to take them. They do by pure force because they are an aristocracy and they've always ruled. And it's quite legit, don't you think? Unless you happen to be one of those people that were charged with holding, making sure that Bill of Rights was enforced so that you didn't end up being a slave all over again or have to do this shit all over again. Just like what I'm talking about here. We do it now. And you're into it 3 or 4 years. And then here comes, oh, we got it. We're forming a new government. We have sent, whoever this mysterious we is, we have sent representatives to a new Continental Congress. They have been chosen by us. Us who? Under what authority? Again. And this is what they will do. This time, we kill those bastards first. Every frickin'. I mean, Mark talk about, you know, yeah, no, we don't want to kill them and keep them. No bullshit. The ones that have been inflicting the tyranny on us, we want them tried and hung forthwith. Get rid of them real quick so that they don't get a chance to do this again. And now, you know, we're looking at this Confederate. You know, right now they're trying to erase the history. The true history of the War of Northern Aggression. The fact that the people rose up and to fight for their Bill of Rights, just like we're doing now. And see, they had to make it any goddamn issue but that Bill of Rights. Because the Bill of Rights didn't allow the aristocracy. It didn't allow the dirty church. So even on the pulpits, they were telling you, no, this is about something else, altogether. But the bottom line is, the Constitution said the states had the right to peaceably secede from the Union. And when they tried to peacefully exercise, you know, exercise a right, when they tried to exercise that right, they were like, no, you can't. We have decided that we are an absolute authority, just like a king. And we are going to have a domain over you. and your progeny from here on out, because we're the ruling aristocrats in this country. This is who we're up against, people. New Orleans takes down first of four Confederate statues. This is from ABC News. It was sent in by Brandon Ward for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Workers in New Orleans removed the first of four prominent Confederate monuments Monday morning, becoming the latest Southern institution to sever itself from symbols. Listen how they're trying to twist this shit. Symbols viewed by many as a representation of racism and white supremacy. Bullshit. They tried to sell it to you as a war to end slavery, only it resulted in the 14th Amendment, slavery. And that's truly what it was all about. I mean, when we talk taxes, I mean, you can say what you want, but the 14th Amendment does say in it that you're responsible for the public debt, free man. Whatever debt this government, this aristocracy makes, you're responsible for it, just like we would be under a king. We can sell your children. We can sell your properties. Your properties aren't your properties. They belong to the king. And see, they have to, right now, people are just, they can't understand this shit. Why is this happening? I mean, if they get to the trenches, they're going to find out. But, you know, you think about the people like Alex Jones and these other charlatans out there selling them a bill of goods that doesn't just, it won't add up. It will never add up because it's not the truth. The truth is Civil War, what they call the Civil War, was a war of Northern aggression. This is when they'd gotten tired of even thinking about, you have rights, you're not equal to me, you goddamn peasant, you peon, you coolie. You're not equal to me, and really, it should be like it was back in the colonies. If you actually meet my gaze, I'll take you over to the whipping post and give you 25 lashes with a cat of nine tails for looking me in the eye, because you're not my equal. And that by the time, you know, they were just started running the business, the business of their United States under their king to their absolute benefit, and to hell with everybody else, hell with the, and you know, you had the people in the southern states, they were a little more backward, you know, and they had a little longer memory, and they did not want to become a part of the international corporation. So they said, well, you know, if that's the route you're going to take, we're just going to secede out and we'll just be a state again. Oh, no, you won't. We'll come and we'll kill you, and we'll take. In the end equation, didn't they come into the South, kill all their people, take all their properties, carpetbaggers, Jews? Didn't they do it? Or am I missing something here? But anyway, they plugged in their the 14th Amendment, the 15th, 16th Amendment. It was a coup. It was a coup without authority, because the claim for the fight was for the Constitution and the Republic that it represented, the republic that it authorized. And under that, I mean, but you know, goddamn, you're talking people who during the Revolutionary War, they just up and just assume authority. Ungranted authority, even though the Constitution says you cannot have these authorities. The Ninth Article, the People's Rights, damn sure says you cannot possess this kind of authority. It's not granted. It's not a statement saying that it's not granted. It forbids it. Completely forbids it. Yet they did it. It worked for them the first time around during the Revolutionary War. Hell, we'll do. I mean, we talk about it all the time. We even got to the point that we joke about it. I write it down on a piece of paper and sign my name to it. And by God, that's the way it is. Because, you know, they're still operating under that King's Charter. They're running this police state under the War Powers Act, under that King's Charter. How else could they ever put anything in place like the Trading with Enemies Act? Where did the authority come from? I mean, this is why we cannot acquiesce one inch to any of this shit. Somebody tries to tell you that they have this. How? Where's the authority? Where is the grant? Where is the authority? Where do they get the authority to do any of this? Where do they get the authority to write down on that piece of paper that you will be subservient to them, and because they signed it? And they're real important because they're the aristocracy. And actually, we've always been under that King's Charter. It's never changed. That's why you don't own your land. King of England does. Well, not actually the King of England, but his proxies here. You know, the royalists, the king's men in this country. That's what I mean. If it was operating under the charter and Pennsylvania belonged to William Penn, it belonged to William Penn through the grace of the new authority, which was the new king, which was the Continental Congress. Has to be, people. I mean, God damn it, some things just have to be. So if they were operating under the King's Charter then, I mean, clear up to the War of 1812. And that's when they went over to England and they got their knighthoods and they swore their allegiance to the King of England, the crown heads of Europe. And even during the Revolutionary War, when, you know, like Benjamin Franklin going to the French, you know, we did get French support and French help. But at what price? What was promised in the lodges? And what's been paid? Why don't we have anything, people? We live in the richest piece of real estate on planet Earth, and it's supposed to belong to us. Why don't we have anything, people? Why do a handful? And see, they have to keep the smoke and mirrors and keep things going this way and things going that way. So you don't just concentrate on that one thing. Where in the hell is my wealth? I mean, I believe in people working. I work my ass off, man. I always have. But where's my wealth? How is this possible? When I am I inherited a fortune. But I mean, it's like a big daddy. They're trying to set it up like trusts. It's just like, we're going to manage all the federal lands. We're just managing for you. It's for you. Or shit. What was it really for? It's just like, you know, them trying to tell this shit to the people back in the days of the Revolutionary War, the Anti-Federalists. Bullshit. And they were saying, bullshit. This is what you intend to do. So now, all of a sudden, like, everything belongs to the federal government, who is controlled by, and actually under the equivalent, well, it never changed because the power structure was the King's Charter. It just became the charter of the Continental Congress, the new king. And like I said, they entertained the idea of, you know, taking old George Washington and making him king. And they thought it would be a fabulous idea if you and I had to worship a king named George. Oh, I thought that's what we were getting away from. We're going to roll across.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Alrighty, you're listening to the second hour of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. On this 23rd day, I think it is, I can't tell, that's kind of X'd. I don't know. It's kind of a weird calendar. What is the date today, dang it? Here, Laura's telling me, the 24th. Okay, I see where your X should be. This 24th day of April 2017, I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1 o'clock Pacific time. Well, it's 1:03, and generally, it would be time for the tactical report with JD, U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. However, JD has a medical appointment today and a dental appointment tomorrow, according to his email. And so we won't have JD until Wednesday. So, like I said again, you're just going to have to put up with me. Now, we were talking about New Orleans taking down one of four Confederate statues. And what they're really doing is they're trying to change. They'll make the most grotesque changes to that period in history, the biggest lies, the biggest fraud you can imagine. And then they'll try and quiet it all down. Quiet it all down. Just forget. Don't look at that period of history, but at the same time, we're sitting here and the people out here, I mean, we got trials going on up there in Nevada. We've already had trials in Oregon. And the issue is, who owns this goddamn country? Do the people or a handful of aristocrats calling themselves the federal government own it? In total violation of our Bill of Rights, which is the constraint upon them, so they cannot do this to us. The removal happened early in the morning in an attempt to, well, I mean, it was here, the Liberty Place Monument, which commemorates whites who, I mean, they got to throw in trying to, white and black, we got, goddamn, God. If we can get them just so pissed at each other, they won't even sit down and think about what really happened. That was back when whites and blacks was killing each other. That's what the Civil War was, and man, have they pushed that propaganda hard in Hollywood. The Liberty Place Monument, which commemorates whites who tried to topple a biradical post-Civil War government. What? War government in New Orleans was taken away on a truck in pieces around 3:55 a.m. after a few hours of work. The removal happened early in the morning in an attempt to avoid disruption from those pesky peasants and coolies supporters who want the monuments to stay. And it ain't the monuments. It's our history. They are trying to change and erase history, because right then and there is when they plugged in the elements that said, we're totalitarian, it's ours, we're the aristocrats, fuck your goddamn Bill of Rights, we're going to give you the 14th Amendment privileges that we grant to those who suck our ass the hardest. Workers who took the monument down Monday could be seen wearing bulletproof vests, military-style helmets, and scarves that obscured their faces. Yeah, you goddamn traitors, you better be. I mean, this is no different than, you know, a Russian uprising, you know, the communists come in and that's what you do. You tear down all the statues and stuff. I mean, you destroy all the history. You take the people down to starvation. Even, I mean, just let them starve to death. Take the food, the production of food on purpose. Make sure that the people are starved down into total submission, and then you build them back in the image of communism to be good communist comrades to one another. And to serve the state without question. And this is what this is all about. And it is being orchestrated by the goddamn aristocrats. You know, you can't separate them. At the top, that's who it is. These same son of a bitches who got that sovereignty surrendered over to them instead of the people who fought and died for it. A handful of son of a bitches is all it's ever been, people. And God knows we should have already wiped these bastards out. I mean, the wealth of our country they've spent on propaganda to keep the people confused, to keep the lie alive. And then when the lie gets in trouble, man, you will see extra effort out of them. You will see extraordinary effort out of them. You will see them. I mean, they'll come out at every angle. I mean, they have no spine. See, they never fought for it. That's the whole deal. They never fought for it back in 1775, and they sure as hell didn't fight for it. They don't fight. They never fought for it in any war. We have been the serfs, just like on the in the fiefdoms back in England. Oh, the king needs 200 people from your fief. We're going to invade a neighboring country and take some of their land. And so you pony up the goddamn. That's what it's been, or am I missing something here? You go back and try to look at any war and justify it. No. It was about money. It was about power. It was about spreading the power of that charter that they had established, that they had taken from the king, that they didn't take. The spineless, dirty son of a bitches that the people bled for. And that was just handed over to the king. And the you know, because that's where the surrender went down. You think that's the only place there was fighting that day in the United States? Do you really think that? No, Cornwallis he sent his subordinate because he was so embarrassed to get his ass kicked by a bunch of rabble. But he, you know, sent his subordinate to surrender the king's sovereignty as the king's representative on this land over to, And this is just the power. It didn't stop that day, people. We didn't remove the king's tyrannical rule. We transferred it into other hands. The same hands, as we pointed out, of the son of a bitches that were serving him in the colony under his charter, inflicting tyranny on the people. Nothing changed. And I will harp on it, and I will not, I can't not confront anything to the contrary. I mean, if you want to bring an argument up, bring it. I will show you my authorities. I have no problem answering any question anybody has, and I will keep answering them. And I will keep defending my position because my position is supported by fact. And if you put forth a bunch of dogma and then you turn around and just, well, I don't want it. You know, this is the same thing that was happening over there on the micro effect. You know, these people coming up, it's God's law and this, you know, all this stuff. Wait a minute, buddy. You know, this is supposed to be a public forum. I'm coming over here. I want to talk to you. I got some questions for you. Is the Bible sworn testimony? You know, you get into the facts. And you just want to answer your question. You want your questions answered according to the facts. If you're against the Bible, I'm against you. This is a theocracy for all. I mean, this is what they're saying. I mean, didn't say theocracy, but the Bible law is your law. Period. Got it, buddy? And see, this is why the churches went along with it back then, because they got to enforce their Bible law as law, even though that first article forbade it. And so, you know, I come over there and I hear this. I have to go and I have to try until I'm removed. Like, Joe, we can't let you on the air no more. This guy doesn't want to hear anybody, any arguments to what he's put, the bullshit treason that he's spewing here. He doesn't want to hear any arguments. What kind of hypocrites would we be if we allowed it? I have made it clear that I don't care where it's at. I hear it. I confront it there, then, and now. And if everybody did that, they would get the idea. I mean, God, what a statement. But even the push, even the small push that we're seeing with the people saying, no, God damn it, who does own this country? And how? Under what authority do these son of a bitches think they rule over us? The Bill of Rights sure as hell doesn't allow it. So this has to be, well, a foreign insurgency into your country. An occupational government operating under charter of, well, the old charter of the king that they got, that was surrendered to them after we did the fighting. These dirty, man, you talk about low. You think about the people out there in the mud and the blood and the ice with rags wrapped around their bloody ass feet fighting for it. They fight it. They believed, man. They wanted that freedom. They fought and they believed. And when they had fought the fight and won the fight, oh, we're going to hand that same tyrannical authority over to the same son of a bitches. It must have been quite a shock to him, and I cannot believe, I mean, like I said, 13 years is a long time to be at war. God, you would be sick of it. But man, just one more action. Go to Philadelphia and hang those son-of-a-bitchin' aristocrats. And we could have done it right the first time. And again, we say, we're talking about this because it's going to happen again. What you're looking at here is, you know, with the shit we're seeing and like this, you know, the Confederate statues being taken down. This is to change the perception of history. I mean, that statute couldn't be there if there wasn't somebody that had a cause. And really, what was that cause? Oh, they were trying to free the slaves. The North was and the South was trying to stop them. No, that is not what happened. That is not even close to what happened. And we know it. And the thing is, if that ain't what happened, then we got to start looking at what happened after the Civil War or the War of Northern Aggression. We have to start looking at that 14th Amendment. Everything they did was without authority. They were claiming to be defending the Constitution, which contained the Bill of Rights. That was their claim. We are defending the Republic. The Republic is the Constitution, is the Bill of Rights. We're defending that absolute authority. And the absolute authority on the ninth article says that you couldn't write that 14th Amendment. You couldn't write the 15th and 16th. You couldn't do none of that shit. And they weren't ratified properly by any stretch of them. If ratification is the king's men ratifying their own doctrine, I mean, this is where we get to this point. If you accept that, though it was all right for them to appoint a military governors in the states that had already had their rights returned to them, the rights to their delegations and the rights to their legislative powers, If you think it was all right for them to, well, they won't go along with the hell, we'll send the military in. We're declaring the military dictatorship, the military dictator, who is, well, the new king's man. Well, he just signed it, and it's the law. And we wonder how we reached the point to where they're just, well, I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and that's how you, that, it is binding on you. Anyways, people, this goes on. Three other statutes to Confederate generals, Robert E. Lee and P.G.T. Beauregard, and Confederate States of America President Jefferson Davis are to be removed in latter days. It's just to erase it. I mean, I've seen some. Goddamn, the internet is just getting overwhelmed with bullshit. I mean, the most stringent, deliberate, you can see an effort being put forth. I mean, you go and look this article up, and there's several to click on, but you click on some of them, and they talk about, oh, the racist war for the whites. You talk about distortion, lying, and fraud. See, they got to make it about anything. If you really go and find out what it was really all about, and then you look at what they did after they were supposedly defending your Constitution, and just like the UN, just like they did in the goddamn colonies, you're a new kind of authority. We're a new king over you. We've just declared more power over you. It's kind of hard to deny. FBI Director James Comey arrives in Queenstown. See, they never break the chain of command, the true chain of command, in Queenstown for government conference. Now, what the hell does that, what is that, you know, Trump, I'm not president of the world. You piece of shit. What the hell is the FBI doing over in goddamn, I can't say it. Damn it, I have to see it to say it. New Zealand. What is the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation or International Bureau of Investigation for a one world government? What is, I mean, and of course, you know, Queen Beatrice, she's the sovereign for New Zealand. So I guess they're going over, I guess we're getting back to, heading back to that monarchy. You know, we talked about it, the fact that young Barron, by the time that Donald Trump gets through finishing our nation off and doing his duty to his people who are not our people, young Barron, I can just see him when he's Trump's age. Man, you talk about a power. He might go right to the top of the pyramid. FBI Director James Comey has arrived in Queenstown for a top secret spy conference. Really? Now, what in the hell do you reckon they could be talking about, people, that we can't know about? Comey, wearing sunglasses, a light blue shirt, and chino pants, arrived on an FBI-chartered Gulfstream Aerospace. Well, the finest accommodations to these people going over to swap spit with foreign nations, with a foreign queen, with a foreign sovereign? But it's all a part of this international effort to stop these international terrorists known as ISIS, because, man, they're going to remember how big and powerful and strong they were in every country. It was like Adolf Hitler all over again. And then you find out, like, bullshit. Bullshit. Create a crisis. I mean, we got to surrender. So, I mean, this is all about getting the Bill of Rights is the target. Get it. I mean, anybody who thinks a difference is a damn fool. The Bill of Rights is the target. 9/11 was perpetrated to attack the Bill of Rights. This never-ending war on an ism called terrorism is a direct attack on the Bill. You got to center your right for safety. God damn you, man, I'll tell you. You go into a school today. Just go watch one of their little, goddamn, what do they call them? Where the kids all got, I can't think of the word. But they, you know, when they get all the kids together and they're doing awards and you know, everybody's getting acknowledged for what they did in school, you know, you watch what it's about. If you don't hear the word safety, every other word, and responsible, you got to be responsible and save you dumber in a fucking wedge, because there's nothing about academics that's going to be talked about there. There will be no awards in academics. There will be no recognition in academics. But if you are responsible, and you're safe. Being safe and responsible, that's all you got to do to be a good communist. And this is what's being taught in the goddamn schools, I mean, all over this country. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, I promise you it's true. who said anyone who would trade their liberty for safety deserve neither. Isn't that what should be being taught in an American school to American children? As a part of the, wait, we've got to change that heritage. There never was. I mean, the Civil War, it really didn't happen. Assembly, that was the word. Thanks, Laura. An assembly. See, my grandchildren, man, my son and my daughter-in-law, they didn't want them to go to public school, but they're out in a nowhere place, man. They really are a really small town. And the kids wanted to go. I mean, they're smart enough to go. I mean, it's no problem because they'll learn everything they need to know. They've got them marked as geniuses, which they are compared to the riffraff out there. But the bottom line is they understand it. My grandson can sit here, my granddaughter, you wouldn't believe it. She can type. She can type. I mean, she can read and write and type. She's 5 years old. And I mean, she can type fast as Laura can with one goddamn finger and a thumb. That's what she uses. She flies around the internet. These children are very intelligent. And they understand. I mean, they'll come right up and tell you what the communists did today and what makes them communists. But they want to be out there, man. They don't want to be trapped in the house. They want to be out there and, you know, be a part of society. So, and you do really not want your children. I mean, you make sure they get educated. You have to pull them out of school. I mean, if they, you know, did anything to upset those kids in any way, they would just say, we're done. And they would go home and they would have the call on it. They would just say it and it would be done. But they wanted to, you know, and it is a small, small town. I mean, even smaller than the town I grew up in. And that's a goddamn small town. And a real beautiful school. I mean, it could be a good place for kids to go and learn. And, I mean, because they're in advanced programs, I guess the regular kids, I guess they're just, we're going to talk about safety and responsibility. But at any rate, you know, because grandma and grandpa are watching them, and they're going to have their little assembly. And so, of course, I got to go into the realms of the communists. Go get me a name tag with my picture on it, printed out of a computer, took a picture of me when I come up to the goddamn counter. And I go in there, and I swear to God, and there was a lot of awards given out, and they were only for two categories, responsibility and safety. For being so safe, you're rewarded this. You're dumber than a fucking wedge, but man, are you safe. And that's what counts in this world. Anyways, the bottom line here is my children are not going to be taught that, or my grandchildren are not going to be taught the truth about the Civil War. I mean, pretty soon this will be the curriculum. It was a race war, don't you know? And it was a race war with the bad whites wanting to dominate and rule over all the other people. Not the, see, this, take the light off of the true son of a bitch is the aristocrats who absolutely want to rule over everybody. This communism 101. I mean, of course you tear down the statutes. You tear down anything that relates back to any kind of truth, and then you make up the lie, and you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it, and pretty soon, well, man, everybody just accepts it as the truth, and man, everybody's being safe, and they're not questioning, because it will come down to the point where it isn't safe to question the government. You want to be safe, and it's not responsible. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard one I hadn't heard before is that Lincoln, he was against slavery, all right. The reason he was against it because of all, like in Virginia, there was 800,000, they call them mulattoes, were half white, half black.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 80,000 or maybe it's 80 or 800, one or the other. But like in New Hampshire, there was 1,000 times less. In other words, only 80 in New Hampshire, and there were 80,000 or 800,000 in Virginia. That's why he didn't like slavery. Because, I mean, he was against slavery because of the slave owners mixing with the women, I guess.
I read a biography called Freedom by, goddamn, what the hell was that guy's name? Sapphire, I think. I mean, it's like 1,100 pages, thin little Bible pages. And man, I mean, I have to feel, you know, what I read was a truer account, because it talked about the fact that Lincoln, this great emancipator who freed the slaves and loved all the people equally, his statement was that the blacks would have to leave this country and be colonized somewhere else because the two races could never mix. It was just the cultures were too far apart, which is bullshit. I mean, it's to start, you are bad enough, you've already handled people like property. But then to say that you're going to, you're right. I mean, he was, he was a goddamn Jew, and he was for centralizing the power. And you know, no matter what lie you're throwing out there, like with the war of Northern aggression, well, you want to call it a civil, the war to end slavery, or shit. That's where the real slavery began. But no matter what, you know, what the true purpose is, they're going to try and mask that. Because a majority of the people just aren't going to go along with any kind of shit like this, any kind of slavery. I know you're going to tell me that we're going to, now I've got this new 14th Amendment where you decide what privileges I have, and I'm trading my Bill of Rights where I govern myself and I have, I'm a free man. I can own property. I can defend that property in a freeman court of common law, under a common law jurisdiction that is the supreme law, the supreme jurisdiction in this country. And you're telling me, I mean, if it was just, if they just had an open, you know, if they just asked the people and there was actually, you know, even back to the forming of the Continental Congress, if they would ask the people who had risen up due to the tyranny being inflicted on them by these bastards, the king's men in the colonies, do you think for one second that they said, I think we're going to send old George or Ted, you know, that was welding the whip, who I looked in the eyes the other day and gave me 25 lashes with a cat of nine tails on the stock in the middle of town. Do you think that they would have said, I think we'll send him? I think, do you know what? The thing is, the people were, I mean, we were the most educated people in the whole world back in the time of the Revolutionary War. There were plenty of common folk. I mean, you look at the people who wrote the Anti-Federalist paper. There were plenty of common folk who could have stepped up and actually represented the common man. But the whole idea was not for a free American where everybody was equal and equal in freedom. It was for an aristocracy, which is, I mean, the whole dirty damn deal of it, of surrendering the sword, the sovereignty over to another government. Who took it as, I mean, they took that, when they took that power, that's when they formed up and decided what they were going to do. Because they claimed, oh, we now have the power of the king. Now we can change things the way we want them with totalitarian authority to do so. And that's why they proclaimed, well, we can have, let's name George Washington king. Let's start off with a king. And then some people suggested a German prince come here and be our sovereign. Because that's what it's called, sovereign. But the people said, no, we are, as individuals, are sovereign. We are in a par, each and every one of us, with the crown heads of Europe. We fought for this goddamn country. You handful of you dirty, rotten scoundrels. You couldn't fight any kind of, no more than the Jews fight their wars today. They couldn't have gained anything. They should have been hung. If not for the con and the power that was already there. And just, I mean, just the brazenness to go for it. And the fact that the people were otherwise engaged in running the king out. Man, that is where the mistake was made. God, man, if they would have just went back to Philadelphia and finished the goddamn job. Got the son of a bitches, they deserved it. It ain't that they were trying to take power and you know, some kind of dirty deal right in the middle of the revolution. No, they were the ones, the very ones who caused the uprising. And they end up with the power. And James Comey's over in Queenstown for a government conference. The FBI's over in Queenstown, New Zealand. Federal Bureau of Investigation, chartered probably in Costa Rica. But a foreign corporation that has come in and declared goddamn authority over the people. As an individual, you don't have no kind of authority like an FBI agent. What are you thinking? Well, wait a minute. I thought this goddamn government served me. They were beneath me. They were my servants. Not the FBI. Good.
Yeah, that I heard New Zealand is where all the rich people are going to get away from the nuclear blast, or must be getting close.
Very well could be, Charlie. Anyway, Comey was last in New Zealand in March 2016 when he met with Minister for the Government Communications and Security Bureau and Security Intelligence Services, Chris Finlayson, goddamn, and Police Commissioner Mike Bush. Bush? No, those people, they're not a part of the royal family, are they? Bushes? Wait a minute. Yeah, they are. In fact, Donald Trump is. In fact, you've always been ruled by one of their aristocrats, haven't you? before Commie's arrival, a CIA jet touched down on the tarmac at Queenstown Airport, and just like a scene out of an action flick, oh boy, two security personnel stood guard as a number of men and women, the corporate, the absolute, the elite, the aristocracy of the United States. That's who they send over. That's who you see on your stupid box when you turn on what they call the news. You see that they have their own, you know, they're not going to have nobody up there running the propaganda machine that ain't one of them. And that's why you've got to the point that there is no God, absolutely no credibility given to the mainstream propagandists, because they are so goddamn dumb. It's from the inbreeding, and it's from the, you know, the elevating stupidity to rule and actually using force to put down intelligence and clear thinking. No, it doesn't matter what you know. It's who you are. I understand that, you know, you have an IQ of 200 and that, you know, you have the aptitude. You could physically, because you know engineering, you could build a rocket that would go to the moon with your own hands. But hey, George over here, you know, he's a young Mason, and Barbara here, she's one of Job's daughters. And so, of course, they're going to rule. They're going to make all the decisions because they're the aristocracy, and the aristocracy is, well, they've always made all the decisions, haven't they? Yes. It's our failure, people. It's the failure of the people just to say, goddamn no, you know. And everybody can, you know, talk about, you could do this, you could do that. All you have to do is say no. At the last election, man, think about it. Just for a second. What if all the people who are really, truly sick in this shit insisted that 25% of you son of a bitches are not going to go out there and acquiesce for me to live under an aristocracy anymore? You do? We will remove your heads with a goddamn guillotine. We will try you as traitors, and you will die. Now, everybody's sitting there, and they come out with their thing. Nobody showed up at the polls. There is no consent of the people as required. Uh-oh. What do we do now? They outnumber us 1,000 to 1. Shall we negotiate? I bet they'll compromise. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break, and we will be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Grandiloquentes, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by... From the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1:38 Pacific Time, and that was Muse with Uprising. You listen to it at the break, and it's way past that Uprising. Goddamn, those two, those little words, man. How it all comes out, huh? Anyway, we were with FBI Director James Comey over in goddamn New Zealand. What the hell are they over in New Zealand? The Gulfstream has joined a second private jet at the airport, acting as added confirmation that the government, in quotation marks, the government conference, whose government? Oh, the World Government Conference. Do you know that world government that can't exist if we have our sovereignty? Is set to play out at a luxury Millbrook Resort in Arrowtown in the coming week. Is a meeting of spying network Five Eyes. Is it calling that Five Eyes? Whatever in the hell that means. Global Alliance. What? I thought Trump didn't want to be president of the world. Global Alliance. You can't have an alliance with other countries that you can, that we don't, that's secret. Of the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Oh, you know, we did have the fact that, oh, Trump, he's going to go ahead, you know, them damn refugees, those Syrian refugees, they're not going to, Australia ain't sending them over here and dumping us. I put down my, oh, well, wait a minute, I got a call from my son-in-law, Kushner, and he said that, well, yeah, we are going to take them, and that is the rule of the king decreed, we're taking them, that's the end of the discussion, you go and get back in line. She's luxury, huh? Five Eyes. The Global Alliance of U.S., Canada, U.K., Australia, New Zealand. A fleet of undercover police cars and a security vehicle drove onto the tarmac ahead of the jet arriving. CIA director. Oh, we've got the CIA over there. Another illegal agency and with unauthorized by the people, inflicting tyranny on the people. CIA director Mike Pompeo is among members from 15 agencies believed to be attending the conference and may well have been among those on board the plane, which jetted in via Wellington. Anyways, guys, what do you think they're discussing over there? Maybe the trials and the trial there in Las Vegas that don't look like it's going so well for them. You think that at this point in the ballgame, because this is the elite, God damn it, this is the aristocracy. They're over there talking about, man, these people are starting to ask questions. These people are starting to say, hey, man, how is it you ended up ruling us? I thought we're supposed to be a free people. And how are we going to get this under control? Because I'm telling you, this thing, when it breaks loose, it's going to be like that wave at the end of the jetty. There will be no stopping it. And they will be runneth over and under and destroyed and killed for all time. And we do. Absolutely. I don't care from the smallest crony, from the meter maid to the president, they all have to hang. Because they have all committed treason against our people and against our Bill of Rights. Police and security have been scattered across the grounds of Millbrook Resort. They're over there at the resort as the peasants, you know, the peasants who are service. And there are servants, there are coolies, there are peasants, there are peons. Serve them in luxury as you eat garbage and try to stay alive and stay warm in the country that belongs to you. You know, though, I think it was Jefferson who said that we were all going to wake up on the continent our forefathers conquered is homeless. I mean, and that's really what you've got this about down to. I mean, most of they have consolidated their power and the wealth that they've stolen from us to gain more power and wealth to the point to, man, you can rent, you don't own land. You're renting. I don't care if you're renting a straight up rental contract or whether you're renting through your homage you pay to the government every year to be on that land. Don't pay it and see how much you own. Millbrook Resort Manager Ross McLean confirmed on Saturday that a, quote, government conference was taking place at the venue, but denied to provide any specific detail. We're not allowed to know what our rulers do. Those peasants, they do what they're told. They charge the machine gun nests when they're ordered to. Millbrook is who we are. Millbrook is who we are because we do not disclose any information about a secret meeting. Our representatives, you know, the people are just like us, and they're there representing our interests, sneaking behind closed doors and doing whatever freaky shit they no doubt are doing. Maybe got them a little child pedophilia going on over there for entertainment, or discussing how they're going to deal with us, and that's exactly what's going on over there. McLean said important visitors typically enjoyed the fact that the resort was quiet and, quote, a relaxed area, unlike the hustle and bustle of Queenstown. The Herald believes the conference will take place for a week starting Monday. A number of police officers roamed the resort grounds on Saturday morning while security stood at a temporary... I mean, this sounds like a meeting of the Bilderbergs, only now it's government officials! Over there, you have something you can't even look at. You get back. You'll pay for it. And man, they will inflict the tyranny on you that they agree on in those rooms. But hey, man, it shows to go. These are, you know, we got this representative government, you know, of, for, and by the people. Bullshit, bullshit, and bullshit. Marked and uncovered police cars were spotted at various locations around the property. The spokeswoman said if the highly secretive visit involved a head of state or ex-head of state, the department would typically be involved with organizing vehicles and security with police. Prime Minister Bill English's office this week confirmed there would be not one, but a number of VIP visitors. I mean, what do you think that an aristocracy would look like if this ain't it? And this is, and now it's going from a goddamn national aristocracy to an international aristocracy. And you and I, they've dismissed our Bill of Rights. We're on the same level as that Kenyan over there that has to dig out the diamonds. And if he dares try to steal any part of what belongs to his country and his people, well, go hobble that son of a bitch. It is not known which government ministers are attending the Queenstown Conference. However, Minister for the Government Communications and Security Bureau and Security Intelligence Services, Chris Finlayson, is expected to make an appearance. Oh, my goodness. Now, that is true royalty. And let's see, look back on the home front, what they're trying to push down our throats. More retails. Oh, no, I don't want to do that one. I want to do this one. What we got here? Harvard University LGBT fact sheet claims gender can change day by day. That means you can be a little girl in the morning and an old man in the afternoon, I suppose. This is from the Christian Post. It was sent in by Brandon Ward for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. A new Harvard University fact sheet on gender dysphoria is urging students to, quote, fight transphobia. Jesus God almighty. By learning what the university claims are facts associated with the futility of gender. According to Campus Reform, the Ivy League school's office of BLGTQ student life recently distributed a fact sheet, in quotation marks, to students on campus titled, Get the Facts About Gender Diversity, Fight Transphobia. The document begins by asserting that sex assigned at birth and gender identify gender identity are not necessarily the same. Oh, really? Sex assigned at birth, assigned by, by nature, I was born this way. Sex assigned at birth, gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation, hormonal makeup, physical autonomy, and or how one is perceived in daily life are not necessarily related. The sheet reads, adding that there are more than two sexes. Oh my goodness, what the hell, what could that third sex be? And it ain't just three sexes. I mean, there's goddamn, you could be, I don't know, a man, woman, man, woman, woman, man. I don't know how in the hell that would work. The page explains that not only do genitals influence a person's sex, but also hormones and chromosomes. I mean, it's like climate change. You know, let's get real technical and say, but it just is. Hell, you can look right out there. It's evident, isn't it? It cites a post by organization Intersex International to claim that at least 2% of humans are born with combinations of these characteristics that do not fit into the constructed sex binary of male and female and may identify as intersex. Ooh, I'm okay, intersex. Really? Jesus, people. But the thing is, people are rejecting this. They have seen, it's got so goddamn disgusting. People say, God almighty, what is happening? These sick son of a bitches, what? This is what I'm talking about. They're asking the question. More and more every day, people are going, this cannot be. How in the hell did this come to, what was the procedure? People are finally just saying, I gotta understand this. The understandable. Even within categories of male and female, every human expression of sex is in some way biological variant, biologically variant from the next. The BLGTQ. Now, I mean, there's four different sexes right there. Are five. One, two, three, four, five. There's five different sexes there, I guess. Sick son of a bitches, office asserted. According to the document, the concept of gender is fluid and changing. What? Can be expressed in a number of ways and can change on a daily basis. So you can, I mean, one day you can be a man and walk in the woman's restroom. And the next day you can be a woman and walk in the man's. I don't know. And then what the hell? What's that? How could it get any freakier? Well, evidently, there's some kind of way. For many people, CIS, I don't even know what the hell that means, and trans, gender expression, identify, and self-understanding can change from day to day. The fact shit claims. For example, gender can be expressed through any, all, and or none. This goes right along with it, man. This is part of the dumbing down. Reflected on one's gender identity. Expressed through any, comma, all, and slash, or none of the following ways. Speech, mannerisms, clothing, reflecting on one's gender identity, and sex, sharing one's gender identity with family, friends, and or co-workers who make up grooming, name and or sex on legal documents, hormone therapy, and surgery. Bullshit. You talk about a pure, you take two, you stand a man and a woman aside, tell me which one's which. I can tell you. I've seen some of these fat, freaky, psycho son of a, I can still tell. One of them's got a dick and the other one don't. It's pretty goddamn simple. But no, it's not, I mean, we're not only gonna make you think that the one could be the other, but it could be the other one or the way, other way, just at a whim. How does that work, people? The fact sheet concludes by implying that failure to comply and call people by their preferred name. Well, goddamn, what are you going to, I got to get up in the morning and look you up and see what you are that day so I don't offend you, so I don't trigger you, you piece of shit. This is the trash that's got to be taken out, people. That's all there is to it. This shit cannot be allowed. I mean, you talk about a rot. Preferred name or pronoun is a form of systemic violence. Oh, it's I didn't recognize that you were going to be, well, goddamn, whatever the hell you are today. Oh, that's violent. That's violent. That's you talk about a pussy down, worthless bunch of sorry son of a bitches, man. Oh, it's violent to call me a girl when I'm dressed like a boy. And I know I don't got the boy thing down there. I got the girl thing, and I got the girl things on my chest, but I'm a boy. And it's violent to say anything else. My God, you pathetic. I mean, this is a shit that makes you just want to puke. In order to prove its claim, the sheet cites data from an organization called Trans Student Educational Resources. Good hangings, place to start the hangings right there. the same group that produced the much reported on gender unicorn last year. I mean, look at this. You talk about the culls of society, the lowest forms of life to exist in your country, the most worthless breathers of your air. What did these son of a bitches have to offer any of you? Why should you put up with this shit? Why don't you shut it down? Why don't you say no? Because that's really all it would have ever took. Trans people of color. Oh my God. Now it's getting goddamn worse. You thought it couldn't get no worse. It's getting worse. Now you got transgender people of color. Now you got racism in this goddamn, what the hell did they call it back there? Pardon?
Jews.
There you go. Trans people of color are 6 times more likely to experience physical violence when interacting with the police than white cisgender. I don't know what the hell that cis means. Cisgender survivors of violence. If you're a white freak, you're a lot less likely to get beat by the cops than if you're a black freak. That same old shit another day, just trying to bring this communist gook into something and call it real. It's not. The fact sheet claims 80% of trans students feel unsafe at school because of their gender expression. Well, it depends on how you express that gender, buddy or gal, whatever in the hell you are. You try expressing it with me and you are not going to like the way it turns out, because I don't have to hold my tongue. And if you accost me, I don't have to hold my fists or anything else. Campus Reform reports that some Harvard students are upset that university funds were used to produce... Well, I would be a little pissed, too. This is your learning dollar. We talked about that earlier. You only got 2 things to learn, though, and that is responsibility and safety. So we have a lot of money left over to, well, accommodate freaks, to accommodate abominations against, goddamn, just our beings. My God, people, you think we'd be here if men boogered men? And women just, you know, wanted to do whatever they do with women? Do you think we'd be here? You think that was the natural scheme? You think that's the way it's supposed to be? Horse shit. They have to get you to accept the fantastic, the unbelievable, would you say, no, never, ever would it be that way. They have to get you to, if you'll acquiesce to that, I guess you'd walk right over to that goddamn ditch, drop down to your knees and bow your head over and take that bullet right to the back of your head. This is how controlled you would have to be. If you'll accept this shit that I'm reading you here right now, you would walk over to that ditch and not make a squawk and just figure, well, it's I'm doing it for the transgenders. I don't want to be politically incorrect. Go shoot. Do it. Hurry. Let's see. Campus Reform's California campus correspondent Peter Von Rohrhaus, who broke the news of the fact sheet, told The Blaze that, quote, students across the country are sick of this gender nonsense. Uh-oh. You mean they've had enough? They're tired of going to the freak show every day instead of going to school so that they can have their lives? You mean they're tired of it? Sick of this gender nonsense, and it's not even nonsense, it's worse than that, and are fighting back to promote truth on their campuses. Well, at some point in the ballgame, the people will not be dragged down any further, because you reach a certain level within the people, and all the dirt beneath them's in the dirt, but, you know, I'm still on my feet. I don't think I'm going down on my knees here. It's a shame that a historic institution like Harvard University has stooped this low, Van Voorhis asserted. It's no surprise at all. I mean, I respect Harvard University. These are the elites that would to have you and me so goddamn weak. If there's a fight comes up, you know, and they would actually like to come up and actually act like they got a spine and smack you down. Take that cat of nine tails and give you a whooping for looking them in the eyes. And you'd have to have a pretty docile society to do that. But man, they're working at it, aren't they? If you were a piece of shit that would accept this, man, you'd accept anything. You'd accept a goddamn aristocracy ruling over you, wouldn't you? According to BLGTQ offices website, it has existed at the school in some capacity since 1998. And before that, people were normal, with the goal of fostering a, quote, safer, more diverse, and because we want to be, even if we have to start boogering dogs and cats and stuff, we got to be more diverse, people, because that's what diversity is about. Being an abomination, being a freak, man, taking on every taboo. safer, more diverse, and inclusive campus by educating and engaging the Harvard community about the multiplicity of sexual and gender identities. Horseshit. I mean, slap them to death with a bare hand. I mean, just keep slapping until they die. The office hosts a number of annual events, one of which is Queer Prom. Really? Queer Prom, I guess the decent folk ought to go beat the Queer Prom back into the closet. Or into the dirt. No, you gotta put them fuckers in the ground, man. That's all there is to it. Try them. Convict them. And hang them. Leave them for the buzzards to chew on right there in the town square. To get it through people's heads, this shit ain't gonna fly. We're not gonna be reduced to goddamn lower than an animal. And really, that is the push here, isn't it? You know, they come up, you know, finally, they're dogs. You know, you kill one of their dogs. Man, that's a 5-year beast. That's actually a police officer. That ain't a dog. I know you seeing a dog, just like when you look at that man with his dick and that woman with her, genitalia. You're seeing a man and a woman, but you're not seeing a dog. And that dog is an authority over you. It's a police officer. I mean, you established that somehow this goddamn unauthorized Gestapo forces and KGB and Czechist forces over, they have some authority. Then you go ahead and delegate that authority to a dog, and then you can let them people know where they really stand. You're beneath a dog. A dog has authority over you. So you not only are you not a free man, you're so goddamn low. And if you'll accept this shit, I mean, you'll accept that you're lower than a dog. If you just accept it, I don't care if you participate, you accept this, you are lower than any goddamn animal. Anyways, guys, we've made it to the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches. And until then, man, could you really accept this? Because I'm here to tell you I never will. And that is The Word from the Trenches.